Okay, and welcome back. Spending some time with Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com, talking about an upcoming trip to Europe this September and other things as well. If you go to rents.com, look on the left-hand side in Guests, Friday, look under Harry's name, and you can click on Photos there if you're just joining us now, and load up the page of photographs. We have more to look at. Beautiful architecture and pictures and fun, and that's what these trips are all about. And you get to meet people who are still alive, who are still very much with us. And that's the amazing part. Touching history.
Amen.
Okay, number 38, Harry.
38. These are, everybody you see there is part of our tour, and that's the Schiffmeister Hotel, which had been Kesselring's headquarters during the war.
Uh-huh.
We're just about to get on board our boat to go onto the Königssee. The couple in the lower right-hand corner, I'm not going to say their name because I don't know if I'm supposed to or not, but he's a lawyer, and we were in another hotel, a very upscale hotel for snacks, and mm-hmm. they happen to have a piano in there. And this guy sat down and played the piano so beautifully, next thing you know, he had a whole crowd around him. And, you know, we just have a lot of fun like that. Then we get on the boat.
All right, on the boat there, there's someone obviously in depression contemplating being seasick.
No, he's the guy that plays the flugelhorn. He just sits there and doesn't do anything until he gets a hold of a microphone, and he starts telling you everything
See.
And he gets out and plays the flugelhorn. Yeah, he looks like he's ready to jump overboard.
But, he does.
I thought this was probably not a good photo, but what the heck?
It gives you the feeling. Is it people being people? That's fine.
Right. And 41, that's at the far end of the Königssee, and that's the wife of one of our members. She's also a member of Shark Hunters, Angela. And look how gorgeous that is.
Angela or the landscape?
Well, a little of both, right. But, no, the scenery will just knock your socks off. It's mm-hmm. fantastic. Unfortunately, they do still have pay toilets, so it costs you 30 cents to use the bathroom.
Look at that little waterfall. Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's waterfalls like that all over the place. Some are little, some are big.
Uh-huh.
There's waterfalls all along the way. And then as we walk from where Angela is, this is the boat dock at the far end of the Königssee,
mm-hmm.
then we walk about 1 kilometer because there was a shift in the Earth's crust. I don't know how long ago, 800 years, I think they said.
Mm-hmm.
And it cut off a small part of the Königssee and made the Übersee, which means the above sea. And so you see in 43, this water is running from the Übersee into through this creek, brook, stream, whatever you want to call it, into Königssee.
Huh.
And the piano player, his nickname is Rooster. That's his wife there. And look at number 44.
Her name must be Henny.
No, I think it was something different, but I get the comparison. Look at 44. Have you ever seen something like that? That's a lake.
No.
You're looking across a lake at a meadow.
Unreal.
And that's the rock that Hitler used to like to stand next to it to get his picture taken. But they had a good snow melt, and it was about a foot of water if you wanted to get out.
You can see to the bottom of that lake, can't you?
Oh, yeah. It's crystal clear.
Yeah.
Well, there's no boats, I think, of any kind on the Übersee. On the Königssee, the boats are all electric-powered with the exception of one of the work boats. But everything else is electric power. And you can see to the bottom there, too. You don't have any runoff of any kind because it's owned by the king. And now it's owned by the government, I guess.
As it should be. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's maintained so beautifully. And like I say, you can't take a bad photo over there.
No. Look at that. Wow. Beautiful.
You can sit there forever and just contemplate. Oh, well. Number 51. Would you believe we're 90 meters underground there?
I would.
Yeah.
After that 400-meter elevator shaft. I mean, that's just mind-boggling.
This is the bunker complex underneath the Hotel Zum Türken. And the Türken was used by Hitler's personal bodyguard when he was on the mountain. And there's tunnels and bunkers all underneath there. And they're all maintained, just like you see them here, beautifully maintained. But if you look right, that's Rooster again. If you look right past Rooster, you see a bunch of bricks.
That's where
the property of the hotel ends. And so the government came in and bricked it up there so that you can't go into their end of the tunnel, which runs under what had been Hitler's house.
Oh, that goes under, the tunnel goes under Berchtesgaden?
No, it goes under the Berghof. That was his, that's what they called his house. This is
on the Berghof. Okay. And that, so they just shut it off there.
That is correct. Yep. And they built them, they came in from the other side.
Oh, man.
And bricked it up, so you can't go in there.
But the house is gone. It just would go under the original location of the house.
That's correct. The house, it was bombed all to hell, and in 1988, some of our people were there, and we've got a video of that, a DVD of Hitler's home, Bormann's home, Goering's home. They were all pretty well damaged.
Uh-huh.
But these guys that took the videos, Uncle Jimmy and Bud and Stella, they got photos down in the cellars. They got videos up in the rafters, and then by the SS Kaserne, you know, the SS barracks and, you know, base mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. They went down three levels of bunker down underneath the caserna. Then they could have gone, they couldn't go any further because the stairway going down to the fourth level was flooded. But now you can't go there at all because the government has bulldozed over the entrance. They've torn down the entire SS barracks base. And they're going to build a putting green there.
A putting green.
Yeah, something like that. Right now, last time I was there, it was just a big empty field. So.
With lots of bunkers underneath it.
Oh, yeah. The bunkers are still there. Just the entrance is sealed off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I suspect you would get a lot of company if you tried to dig through the the entrance. Yeah, God forbid, you should look at history. If you roll down to 54, right now that's with that hardened tunnel was a rail tunnel. And that's Rooster again, and he's walking right where the rail line used to be.
Hmm.
And it's a hardened tunnel, and that is where, at the end of the war, Hermann Göring had his train full of treasures protecting it from bombing. Didn't do him any good. He wound up dead anyhow. And that beautiful hotel to the upper right, that's where we stay. Beautiful place.
Wow.
It's on a hill overlooking Berchtesgaden.
So the tunnel is just like a big parking garage.
Right. The city has put the fence along either end, and they use that for their trucks and trailers and whatever stuff. You see construction equipment on the left of the picture.
What happened to Göring's loot? His train full of loot. Do we know?
Well, somebody got it. The U.S. Army was the ones that came into Berchtesgaden, the 101st Airborne. And where did it go from there? I don't know. We understand there's a warehouse somewhere in or around Washington, D.C. that has like 20,000 fine art paintings in there that they liberated from Germany, and probably all the rest of the stuff they took out of there.
But forgot
liberated.
To return. Uh-huh, yeah.
So probably that's in the same warehouse with the Ark of the Covenant that Indiana Jones found.
Nothing would surprise me.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's just incredible. The older we get, the more we learn, and we wonder what's going on in this world. So now, if you look down at 55 and 56,
right,
it's just a wall.
Right.
Everybody is familiar with the book Mein Kampf, which means my struggle, Mein Kampf. After Hitler got out of, what was it, Landsberg prison, he rented a little house up here on the mountain where he and Hess stayed, and he dictated and Hess wrote. He finished Mein Kampf in this little house, and so they call this the Kampf House. And the remains are still there, the remains of the foundation. I'm surprised they haven't bulldozed that yet, but that's there, and we go
that's
there.
That's very interesting.
Yep, we go there. And then you look down 57, 58.
Isn't that the greatest selling book in the world outside the Bible? Number two?
That's what I've heard, yes. Second highest selling book. Everybody in Germany had it. They had. I'm told they had to have it. But if somebody was getting married, you gave them Mein Kampf with the white cover, and others for different reasons, for different color covers. We've got one here that's hand signed by Adolf Hitler. I don't know where it is. We've got over 5,000 books, but it's in there somewhere. I saw it, and I put it in with the books.
Nice.
I have to find it.
Nice little piece of history.
Yeah. Anyhow, like I say, this 57, 58, these are other ruins in another area, and we'll be going there too on this patrol. And you let your mind wander back to that time, and you wonder who was here, what was going on.
We don't know. That's just the walls. The ceiling may be gone. I can't tell. The roof gone.
Yeah, right, sure. Anything wood is gone.
Yeah.
But, you know, let your mind wander back and you see the guys in the uniform, the women in the beautiful dresses with the hats and the white gloves. A time that is gone with the wind.
Wow. Yep. Yep. All right. 59. Same thing?
No, 59, 60, and 61. These are the coal bunkers. You can see by the barbed wire fence, supposed to be off limits. I try to remember that. Not. They're very, very tall. And there's a road goes by up above, and the coal trucks would come there and dump coal down into the bins, and there were ceilings above these doors. And so the coal would be caught in the bunkers up above there, and when they needed it to coal the houses down on this level, which was Hitler's home, Bormann's home, Goering's home, Speer's home, and all the other buildings around there, they would back a truck in there, open the door, and let it come down and fill that truck, and then they'd go off and put coal in the houses. If you look at 59, all the way down to where that big pile of debris is, the last bunker down there, which was bunker number 8, had a door in the back of it that led into the tunnel complex underneath this part of the mountain. And so a couple of years ago, I slithered over the top of that, down in there with my miner's helmet on and my light, got to the back, doggone it, that door was there. There was a door, but somebody welded the damn door shut. So you can't get in there. They don't like people to see history, I guess. The door welded shut. Then if we look down to 62, that is another door that actually leads into that tunnel complex from another area, but it's welded shut also. They must have a lot of welders over there.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Okay. Just wondered if you were contemplating the picture.
No, I am. I'm looking. I'm trying to think how things would have been back then and how they are now.
Yeah,
okay.
True.
Number 60.
Yeah, 60. Yeah, that's the coal bunkers.
Yeah. And they had... okay. And you're inside there in 62.
No, in 62, no, that's further down the road from the coal bunkers, and this is another door leading into the bunkers. But it's welded shut also. All the doors are welded up.
They're welded up, and what happens... Okay, what was on the other side of the doors? Just coal?
Up on the big bunkers, yeah, just coal. They'd load the coal from up on top from a road up above, and then this road down here, they'd just back the trucks in and take a load of coal.
I see. They just dump it above. Okay, I got it.
Right, and 62, that's about 20 yards down the trail, and that's Rooster again with another one of our guys there.
Yeah.
That's the door going in, and if you look closely, you'll see it's got a big brass padlock on it. So it's not welded shut, but it's locked.
Okay.
I don't like people looking into history.
I can't understand what the hell would be in there that they would be worried about.
Well, they claim that they're worried about your safety.
Yeah, no, I don't think
so. Horse feathers. They just don't. They don't want anybody to get involved with this history. And but somehow we do. 65. There used to be a small house built in front of it as camouflage. That's the escape door for Goering's underground bunker complex.
Into the bunker complex.
Yep.
Okay,
it also is locked. And you see one of our members there is taking a picture through the ventilation hole. And all these bunker doors, they've all got ventilation holes, and you can feel air coming out of them. So there's obviously openings elsewhere, but
unless
you want to pick the lock and take a chance on getting caught by the police, it's best you don't do it.
Wonderful.
Yeah, you can.
How dumb.
Yeah.
How dumb. All right, so that tunnel complex could be quite a scene in there.
Yeah, there are many tunnel complexes. Goering had his own. Bormann had his own.
Right.
Hitler had his own. And Bormann hated Goering so much he would not allow them to intersect his tunnel system with Goering's tunnel system. You know, they just really hated one. Well, Bormann hated Goering. Goering just was kind of a target for Bormann. Bless
his
heart.
Yeah. What an amazing thing. So this is all coming up in the September patrol.
That is correct.
Wow, what a preview.
Yeah, and there's even more to it. If you look down to 66, now this is, we're going there too, but this is for the hardy people. You've got to walk about a mile through the forest, and you never see this thing coming up. You're walking along a trail that suddenly is only about 1 foot wide, and you get to where you see about 10 feet in front of you, the trail just plain ends. But if you look to your right, there's this hole in the mountain. And that white you see in the hole, that's somebody's shirt. They're going into the
tunnel. It's not the other end. Okay, I got it. It's
No. There ain't no other end. This is what's called the deep tunnel. And it goes straight in for about half a mile, makes a zig to the right, goes about a quarter mile, and then just plain stops because the war ended. But there are still drill holes in there where they put in the dynamite, and there are still sticks of dynamite in some of them drill holes.
You've been in there.
There's
dynamite in the drill holes. Wow.
Yeah, and as a former demolitions guy in the service, I know, don't go near that dynamite.
No, I'm surprised they would leave it in there. Where do you think this was going?
It was going through the mountain to come out in Austria. This is, we're on the Bavarian side, and it was supposed to come out in Austria so that Hitler and several other people, if they happened to be in that area at the time the war ended. This was all part of what the Allies called the Southern Redoubt. They thought the Germans were going to take a final stand down there, but that didn't ever happen.
This obviously is wide enough for a vehicle to go racing through.
And in
there.
The floor, they have already chiseled slots across for railroad ties about every 2 feet, and they were going to put railroad ties in there, but like I say, the war ended.
What is this tunnel nearest?
That's still on the Obersalzberg. That's just a little bit down from where Hitler's home stood.
No, remarkable.
Maybe a half a mile down the road, and then way back in the woods. You really got to know where to find this thing, and like I say, you got to walk about a mile.
That's very interesting, indeed.
Yeah.
Now, the last picture of that tunnel There's
well, you got 67.
69.
Where we're going into the
tunnel. 69. Yeah, and then we go to... What's at white at the end of 69?
There we're all the way in the tunnel looking back out.
Ah, reverse shot. Okay.
Yeah, that's the door we came in. And where I'm standing now, it takes a zig to the right.
Uh-huh.
If you're coming in or to the left where we're standing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when we get there, we get everybody clustered together and we tell everybody, don't move, you're going to see total darkness. And we switch off the lights and absolute total darkness. Then about 5 seconds, we turn the lights back on. And it's popular with the young people, I guess, because we see evidence where young guys and girls come in there and they have little bonfires and they drink, and then there's mattresses, so you fill in the blanks there yourself, figure out what they do there. And this is all part of these are places we go on the tour. And I kept the photos kind of to a minimum because I, you know me, I'm an Irishman. I can talk for 6, 7, 8 hours straight here.
No problem.
So after we leave this area, this is down in Bavaria, after we leave here, then we go back up to Munich, and we're in Munich only one day, and then the patrol is over. It's 15 days total, and we stay in either four-star hotels in the bigger cities, or we stay in beautiful little guest houses in the small villages.
Nice. Well, special trip coming up. Sharkhunters.com for full details, and now's the time to make your plans. Hold on, and we'll be back. There are more pictures to see, and the landscape takes a decided turn for the cold. You'll see, and there's a reason for that. Hold on, and we'll continue with Harry in just a minute. Okay, and we're back with Harry. This is going to be really fascinating, this next section. Go to your photos and look at number, well, after number 69. It's a, obviously
no numbers on
no number.
It's, well, before we get into the ice-cold part of it, I've got, there's three expeditions I've got coming up hopefully this year or the very early part of next year. As I said, I'm going down to Brazil, Uruguay, and Argentina, and also Paraguay this time, to get more information, because this last time when I was 4 weeks there, I was primarily meeting people that I had been emailing with to open the door to get a comfort zone, and so then I'm going to go back and follow up on a lot of the topics that we had opened up on. We didn't get into very deeply. So that's one. That'll probably be June or July, which is winter down there. But winter down there is a lot like winter in Florida, where I'm going. Then one of my agents down there, we call him Bolivar, has found all sorts of places that we need to check all through Patagonia on the Atlantic coast all the way down.
Right.
The ruins of the mountain troop school and the skiing school that Perón oversaw building because he studied in Italy in the mountain troops. And another one of our people down there has come up with location of possible another couple scuttled U-boats, and I just got that information this morning, and I told him, okay, well, if it's not too deep, I'm a certified diver, and we'll go look at him. And he emailed back, ha, 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 you think you're going to go diving in the Atlantic off Patagonia where killer whales eat everything in sight?
Did you ever see that YouTube video of the guy standing right at the edge of the waterline?
The guy walking along the beach, right? And
yes.
A killer whale comes up and lunchtime.
Is that true, or is that a hoax?
I don't know. It looks awful real to me.
It looks very real to me.
Right. So, and I know the killer whales do come up like that to get the seals.
Yes.
That are on
yeah.
the shore.
Right.
Killer whales.
Well, they semi-beach themselves. They come right up on
right.
the... Yeah.
They're not killer whales. They're orcas because the liberals don't... Yeah, the liberals don't like anything being called killer whales.
Correct.
Of course, those are the people that think in certain states, you know, you should be able to use men's room, woman, ladies' room, bathroom, whatever you like. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
But that's another...
It's just a lifestyle choice. Don't worry, Harry.
Yeah, right. So... Those are some of the things, and there's the remains of one of the factories down there, Lauzon, which General Lauzon and his family owned wool shops all through South America, where, you know, people would shear their sheep and bring it in, they'd buy the wool, etc.
Right.
This was also waypoints for the spies and the agents. So... Excuse me, they had a factory down there where they were rendering seal oil,
uh-huh.
but allegedly also were providing high-quality lubricants to U-boats. So we're going to go there and check on that. And there's so much stuff down there that's connected to the Third Reich and World War II and after World War II. So I want to look at some of these scuttled submarines, too.
There, now, that's in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, in coves or bays, yeah,
uh-huh.
but still, it's Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
And as we discussed in emails earlier today, the seawater is not kind.
No.
The saddle tanks, the fuel tanks, the ballast tanks, they're all gone because they're maybe 1/8 inch thick. They had no pressure problems
because uh-huh.
they were open to the sea at the bottom. The conning tower fairings, that's all gone. So what you got is like a giant gas cylinder laying on it on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't raise them because there's nothing left there except the pressure hull. Maybe there's something inside, who knows. But if they were scuttled, you don't have to worry about it being a war grave because everybody got off.
Right.
And if they were scuttled... I'm sure they didn't leave anything of any value
on
board.
No.
You know, none of this Nazi gold, you know, because every submarine had Nazi gold on board it, if you listen to some of the loony stories. Some did, but not the combat boats. They were out there with torpedoes. Now, you want to talk about the snow country.
This is very interesting, folks. And I mentioned to you that I saw on YouTube...
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember, about 10, 12 minutes long, something like that. It was an original German black and white documentary made for obvious motion picture theater release in the 1930s, showing one of the expeditions down there to Antarctica.
Yeah, would have been 1938, 39.
And I cannot find the one that showed the German explorers, the researchers, the scientists, not on the ship, on the ground. And they had found these enormous, and I mean giant caverns. I'm going to find it. I can't find it. I've looked at about 10 or 12 already. I can't find it. There are places in Antarctica, more than a few, that have water, not ice. There's apparently some very simplistic vegetation growing. It's not frozen over everywhere. There are open areas, and there are little lakes and lagoons and so forth. I mean, it's really amazing.
Yeah, and it hasn't been...
You've seen all that, right?
Say again?
Have you seen those pictures of the small lakes and things? Beautiful water.
Yeah. Right, I've seen some of them, and of course we all know the story of Richard Byrd and how much that is real and how much of that is contrived, I don't know, but that's what we want to find out. I'll leave that punchline for later, but first picture you're looking at with the circle on it, that is the base that the German Expeditionary Force used down there. You'll remember that they came out of Germany and they stopped for quite some time at the island of Trinidad, way out into the Atlantic off of Rio de Janeiro, where the Brazilian Navy pulled their troops and the Germans came and they built two 80-meter tall radio towers. I was there on that island a couple of years ago, and those photos are on the website under previous tours. Scan down until you find Brazil. And they used it for exploration. And the flagship was called the Schwabenland, and it was a catapult ship. And they had other support ships, no military, no warships. Then they went down to Antarctica, and they landed some people. You see the next picture, three guys with a swastika flag on the ground.
Yeah, I've seen that picture in color. I'm not sure if it was colorized or if it was originally taken in color, but the flag is red.
Okay, yeah, well, normally it would be red, but...
Have you seen those pictures?
Not the colorized ones, and I don't remember anybody having color film back in 1938, 39.
Well, they must have colorized it because I saw it earlier tonight. I'll see if I can find it again.
Yeah. Could be. They do all sorts of stuff now with Photoshop. And this one peak you're looking at, the next one down from the three guys, it's called Holy Lance Peak. And you know the story of Hitler and the Lance of Longinus. So why was it called Holy Lance Peak? Because it has a point? Or because some stuff was put there? We don't know.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I've got to find this black and white footage of these caverns. I mean, they are enormous.
Well, like you've got a ton of listeners. I'll bet you somebody right now is already on their computer.
I've gone through 10, 15 of them. You type in 1938 German expedition Antarctica, and you'll see quite a few videos. Most of them have to do with the German flying saucer concept having been taken down there and manufactured down there. But there are some with some pictures, and they're in color. And it's quite amazing. This flag is bright red, and this is a very good picture, the one you've got in your lineup here. So
right. Yeah, you touched on an interesting point there with the alleged flying saucers. Now, whether they exist or not, I have no idea. But there is, I believe, a tie-in between Antarctica and Bariloche. The town of San Carlos de Bariloche is 700 miles southwest of Buenos Aires, and at the end of the war, it was so remote, there was no airfield, I don't think, and the rail line stopped 40 miles before that, etc. That's where Hitler and Eva Braun lived from 45 until at least 1955. Okay, that's interesting. 1960, President Dwight Eisenhower was in Bariloche. We have photos of him down there. Jimmy Carter, during his presidency,
what's going on
here? Yeah, Clinton was in Bariloche, and Mr. Potato Head, what's his name, Barry
Satoro.
Yeah, he was just down there. What the heck are all these people doing down in Bariloche? It's a beautiful little town, but it ain't like it's Monte Carlo.
No.
So some people believe there's a tie-in between Bariloche and flying saucers at the South Pole. Maybe mm-hmm. there are, maybe there are not. I don't know. I can't say. So, but there was something down there with the Germans. If you look at the next picture beyond or below Holy Lance Peak,
mm-hmm.
you'll see kind of a stick-looking yeah. thing sticking out.
It's a geographical marker.
Exactly. The planes on board the catapult ship Schwabenland were the Dornier flying boats that were called a Dornier Whale. I think it was a DO-29, but don't hold me to that. I'm not sure. Anyhow, they would catapult these airplanes, and they would fly along the line where Germany wanted to claim Neue Schwabenland, New Swabia. And every kilometer, they would drop one of these things. There was about 6 feet, maybe 5.5 feet, stainless steel, and on the top of that dome-looking thing, there was a stamped-in swastika. Every kilometer, every 10 kilometers, mm-hmm. they would drop one that was 2 meters long that had a metal, small metal swastika flag on it. That was to outline the border
mm-hmm.
of Neue Schwabenland. Where are all those arrows? They were called arrows, I think. Where are they? Did somebody come along and pick them all up? I don't think so.
That's a very good question. Although, to deny the claim, territorially speaking, maybe someone did go down there and try to collect a lot of them.
Well, that's a possibility. But they would have had to collect a whole bunch of them because
yeah.
There was a huge chunk of land that Germany was
right.
claiming in
Neue
Schwabenland. Antarctica itself is, I'm told, 5 times bigger than the United States. That's
wow.
a whole lot of property.
Yeah, it is.
And,
wow.
and Germany wanted to claim Neue Schwabenland. So maybe they picked them up. I don't know. But it's worth a look-see. And the last picture in there, taken from a submarine, a German U-boat, cruising off the coast of Antarctica. What boat? We don't know. What was it doing there? We don't know. When was it there? We don't know. But it's one of those questions without an answer that we got to get an answer.
Very interesting.
The bottom line to all this, why are we showing all these pictures of the icebox down there? we're putting together an expedition to go there.
You are going to go where few men and women have ever gone. That's
yeah.
amazing. Not surprising, but amazing.
Well, I'm looking forward to it from the historical standpoint, but I hate the cold. That's why I don't live in Chicago anymore. I moved down here many, many years ago. As a matter of fact, 2 days ago was our 26th anniversary here in this building. And I love Florida, but bundle up, and we'll go probably December, January, hopefully this coming December, January, or the one next year, because you got to go in the summertime, in December,
sure.
January,
yeah.
the
yeah.
summertime down there. Otherwise, it's just incredibly harsh. But there's something down there, and I feel like we got to find out what it is.
Well, Admiral Byrd didn't find out, or did he?
Yeah,
he got his nose punched, that's for sure.
He got his nose punched, and I read what was purported to be his diary. Now, whether that's true or not,
yeah.
Who knows?
Wonder where that went. I think it's on the Internet. I think you can find it, Admiral Byrd's
okay.
diary.
Well, it's somewhere, I guess, but...
Yeah.
Was it true? Was it fiction? Who knows?
But well, you're amazing. You're going to Antarctica. Now, how are you going to arrange this? I assume that there are guides that you can hire that will take you down there. You're not just going to rent a ship and jump off and start walking.
No, we're planning to do a whole lot of research first, and I'm asking our members and anyone else if they have good knowledge the area, not only geographical knowledge, but political, anything at all that can help. We want to hear from them. And we'll put together our plan. And I wasn't planning to rent a ship. I was thinking more along the lines of a C-130 with skis.
Right, good idea.
Yeah, whatever. Because, yeah, if you want to go inland, let's say you have to go 100 miles inland. I'm just picking a number out of the air. I don't want to walk 100 miles.
No. It's too far. But yeah. My feeling is that whatever the Germans established there wouldn't have been all that far inland. There's so much geography that's right next to the ocean. It would seem to me that they'd be able to find what they were looking for relatively easily. They don't want to have to lug stuff back and forth from ships that would come in or U-boats that would come in. And apparently they did come in. We have film of U-boats in amongst the ice. It's very, very compelling stuff.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind something is down there. Is it flying saucers? I don't know. I'm not a big fan of flying saucers, but who knows? You know, 20-odd years ago, if somebody would have told me that Hitler did not blow his brains out in the bunker, I would have thought they were nuts. And 35 years ago, if somebody would have told me that the German military people were decent, honorable, hard-fighting men, I'd have thought they were nuts. Well, I've learned differently along the way. So I've also learned not to dismiss something out of hand without looking into it. So, you know, anybody who says, oh, this can't happen or this had to have happened, you know, unless they've got backup, they're just kidding themselves.
When are you going? When is the trip to Argentina tentatively scheduled, and how are you going to arrange this? This is very intriguing to me.
Well, the first trip, I'm just going to fly down. I've already got my contacts established. The second one, where we're going down Patagonia, down the Atlantic coast all the way, I have my guide, my friend down there, who I call Bolivar. I don't like to reveal the names of some of my experts.
No, I don't need names. I mean, these people know what they're doing. They've been down to Argentina, and they've been
from there to
Antarctica.
Well, the Antarctica part, we have other people who have information and have knowledge, and I know there's going to be more coming out of the woodwork, but I'll finish my thought on why I don't reveal names, not only on your show, but on in my magazine or nothing. We have seen the farcical disaster Hitler TV series.
Yep.
And I don't want these bozos knocking on the doors of some of my trusted people down there saying, you know, and showing up with an army of camera crew and sound men.
Of course.
Scare the hell out of people, and that would close the door for me, too. So I protect my sources.
Yeah, this is pretty amazing, to put it mildly, that you would be going down there. Again, if anyone is able to find, don't knock yourself out, but if you look on YouTube and you find this is grainy black and white footage taken by a cameraman on the ground in New Schwabenland in Antarctica, probably in the 1938-39 German expedition there. And they went into the mountain or into something, and there's these enormous, I couldn't believe it. I'm so stupid I didn't bookmark it. But they are inside a mountain or something under a range of rock, a geographical formation, and it is an enormous cavern. I mean, we're hundreds of yards long, probably 100 yards high, a couple hundred yards wide, huge. You could put a small town in it.
Wow.
No snow, nothing. Completely safe from the outside elements. Just remarkable. I think it was the original German expedition.
Well, that very well could be because, you know, any major expedition like that, they would film. They would take snapshots.
Oh, they would always document everything. Yeah, sure.
Sure. And, but, you know, so much was lost. I don't know what specific was lost, but underneath Tempelhof Airport, there was a huge cavern under there, and zillions of rolls of film in there, which was German history, wartime and before, and some nitwit fired a bazooka in there, and it was all silver nitrate film, and boom, it all burned and burned and burned.
Mm-hmm.
So they lost. But, you know, it was rationalized by saying, well, that was German history, so it's all evil.
Didn't matter, yeah.
Right. It's the same as Diego Landry's burning all the Mayan scrolls scripts because it was not Christian, therefore it's evil.
Well, they burned up their whole culture. It's gone.
Yep. So we still can't translate the Mayan stuff because somebody burned it because it was evil. We still can't get a handle on all the great things that Germany did because some nitwit fired a bazooka through the door.
It's still amazing to consider, Harry, that Germany is about the size of Texas. And
yeah, it's not a big country.
No, and look what it almost pulled off. It's
yeah.
Really amazing.
And remember the story that Hitler wanted to rule the world. He started World War II to rule the world and kill all the Jews. That's totally false. He didn't start the war. He had no intention of ruling the world, and he wasn't killing the Jews. There were tens of thousands of Jewish soldiers in the military. I've been in cemeteries.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been in cemeteries in Germany that's all Jewish soldiers.
Right. I know.
However,
I know.
It must be true because the government said so.
Must be. No question.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on the new South America, that South America trip and the trip to Antarctica. And then, of course, this September, going back to Europe again.
So anybody who wants to go with us to Europe, just give us an email, sharkhunters@earthlink.net. We'll give you all the information.
Wonderful.
And
thank you.
That clip.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if you've seen that clip, but I sent it to you.
I'll have to take a look. I don't think I have. All right, if you want to resend it, that'll be better. I'm sending you some things I've found, too. So thank you, Harry, as always.
My pleasure.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Have a great evening.
You too. Thanks. Okay, back with more in just a few minutes. Hang on.